Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the United Malt Group trading update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mark Palmquist, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the conference call at relatively short notice. I'm Mark Palmquist, CEO of United Malt. You will have seen an announcement we made to the ASX regarding an update on our trading conditions and guidance. Today, I'll make a few comments in relation to the release, and then I'll be happy to take your questions at the end of the call. First, let me provide an overall context to today's announcement. You will recall at the half-year result in May, we called out the significant issues that were adversely impacting our processing segment in North America. They included the significant crop deterioration in North America and higher supply chain and energy costs. We had expected an improvement in some of these impacts in the second half, but this has not materialized to the extent that we had expected. The specific reasons for that are the cost and poor quality of domestically sourced North American barley supply is resulting in increased production costs and reduction in gross margin. The expected improvement in supply chain, including sea, rail, and road freight, has not materialized, causing continued delays in customer shipments, and we continue to incur higher than expected energy costs. As a result, processing earnings for FY22 are now expected to be below our previous guidance as these anticipated improvements have been delayed. Processing segment underlying EBITDA before SaaS costs for FY22 is expected to be $62 to $66 million. Our warehouse and distribution segment is performing well and continues to benefit from reopening in major markets and the return of craft brewing demand. We're also benefiting from the business optimization initiatives, which are generating increased revenue and underlying earnings. Warehouse and distribution segment underlying EBITDA before SaaS costs for FY22 is expected to be $46 to $50 million. That's in line with the guidance we provided in the interim results. Group corporate costs for FY22 are expected to be approximately $8 million. That's slightly lower than the guidance we provided in the interim results. So all up, we now expect underlying EBITDA before SaaS costs for FY22 to be in the range of $100 to $108 million. Let me make some quick comments about our financial position. As a result of continued high barley cost and the additional barley intake in the UK in preparation for our Inverness expansion, our gearing, net debt to EBITDA, will temporarily exceed our target range of 2 to 2.5 times. We are engaging with our banks around options to manage this temporary increase in barley inventories and the short-term reduction in EBITDA, including options to finance a portion of our receivables. Based on our FY23 earnings outlook, we believe that we will not need to raise additional capital, and we will be within our target net debt to EBITDA range at 30 September 2023. We have no significant near-term refinancing commitments with long-term debt facilities not maturing until November 2024. Well, let me turn to the outlook for FY23. The result in FY22 is obviously very disappointing and reflects the significant external challenges we are managing across the business. However, we remain confident that we will deliver a meaningful increase in earnings in FY23. There are a number of key drivers of this improvement. First, improve North American barley crop conditions. In each of our barley sourcing regions, the crop outlook remains positive with a significant improvement expected in the volume and quality of the North American crop from last year. Second, improve pricing and commercial terms. We have implemented substantial changes to the pricing and commercial terms for our North American processing customers. As these renegotiated terms come into effect progressively in calendar year 2023, will better capture the true cost to serve customers, which takes into account the crop quality, barley price, and cost inflation to better manage margin risk. Three, the completion of our Scottish expansion project. We're focused on completing the Scottish distilling expansion, which will provide 79,000 tons of new capacity to serve the distilling market. The Inverness expansion is expected to be fully operational and producing quality malt in the first quarter of calendar year 2023. Arbroath is already producing at a rate of 22,000 tons per annum. We confidently expect to deliver an incremental EBITDA of approximately $18 million on a full-year run rate basis from the Scottish distilling expansion. Fourth, progressive delivery of the transformation project. We expect to complete the implementation of our new technology platform by the end of March 2023. This is a key enabler for the delivery of our transformation project, which is on track to deliver the expected benefits by FY24. We expect a material increase in earnings in FY23. The better customer contracts will substantially improve our results from January 2023. The run rate from January through to September 2023 will be significantly higher than our results for FY22. Our first quarter will continue to be affected by the 2022 pricing issues. We expect underlying EBITDA before SaaS costs for the first half 23 to be in the range of $58 to $66 million. We expect a meaningful increase in the second half, with underlying EBITDA before SaaS costs expected to be $82 to $94 million. The return to an average crop in North America will be positive for us in FY23. Having the quality and the quantity of barley we need in North America means that the significant costs associated with importing barley that we incurred in FY22 that we were not able to fully pass through to customers in FY22 will not reoccur in FY23. Based on current crop expectations, we do not expect to import barley into North America in FY23. So all up, we expect underlying EBITDA before SaaS costs for FY23 to be in the range of $140 to $160 million. We'll be hosting an investor day in Sydney on Wednesday to outline the actions we're taking to build a more resilient global malting business and to take advantage of the opportunities to unlock value. It will also be an opportunity for you to hear from and meet my colleagues on the management team on key areas of industry trends in our markets, including expected growth and demand for malt products in our markets, strategic priorities to accelerate the pace of change to manage in the current environment, and a detailed look on the positive North American crop conditions and the reset of pricing and commercial terms, and reinforcing a commitment to strong capital discipline following completion of the Scottish distilling project. I look forward to seeing many of you on Wednesday. In the meantime, I'm happy now to take your questions following today's announcement. Thanks again.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. We'll pause for questions to register. Thank you. Your first question comes from John Campbell from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Mark. Just given the ongoing issues that have led to this series of downgrades, Mark, can you give us a sense for why you're so confident that FY23 is going to see it? Well, I mean, I understand on the crop front, but on all the other aspects around logistics, etc., what gives you the confidence that guidance for 23 is now, rock solid?
Yeah, morning, John. Appreciate the question. As you mentioned, the biggest impact is actually getting a North American crop that gives us the adequate supply and the quality. The other aspect of it is that it really shortens our supply chains. So it starts to really reduce the impact of some of the issues that we're having in distribution and freight increases. We don't have to run a big supply chain on an imported base that was more exposed to all these increases, from freight to fuel, those type of things. And the other component is that we'll have ample supply and quality so that we'll have better opportunities to be able to manage how we optimize our plants and also optimize the supply chains to the customers. So I would say the takeaway is that the risk profile for us in FY23, once we get past the first quarter, is just substantially less. So there's better certainty in terms of how we're looking at forecasts, but it also means that there's better opportunities versus what we had to deal with in FY22.
And are you, you know, very confident around the crop? I mean, is everything you're seeing, I've seen stuff out of various Canadian forecasters that show the conditions in for the crop that will be delivered into FY23 is looking, you know, obviously much better. But I mean, just the most recent data points, can you point towards that is in fact going to be the case? The crop is looking really, really good.
Yeah, and like you know, any big growing area from east to west, there's some variability in terms of the production and the quality. But what we're seeing today, the crop in Canada looks like it's about 10.2 million tons compared to 6.9 last year. So big improvement. Most importantly for us is that we're going to see big improvements in Alberta, which is very important to us with our Calgary plant, and better production in Saskatchewan, which is tributary to Thunder Bay. Few concerns about quality when you get to the eastern part, Manitoba and eastern Saskatchewan. That crop is still behind probably 2 to 3 weeks. It's been wetter than normal, so we have to worry about you know, any type of disease issues, mycotoxins or fusarium. But Alberta is looking good. Then moving to the U.S., we're actually already in harvest. We've been harvesting the winter barley crop. It's come in at pretty much expected yields and quality. And the southern part, so Idaho starting first, will be cutting spring barley coming towards the end of this week, and then we'll progress all the way up. Alberta actually will have some new crop coming off in mid-August, so a little bit earlier than normal. So when we add that all up, there can be some variation, but it's very easy to see where both the supply and the quality will be more than adequate for us to be able to manage all of our demand and needs by domestic sources.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Your next question comes from James Ferrier from Wilsons. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for your time. And apologies, I only just joined the call a little bit late. But can we just dive into the second half FY23 colour you've given there? A range of $82 to $94 million of EBITDA. And just thinking about the historical seasonality in the business, that puts the number for the group, if you just annualise that number, a bit over $160 million. And I'm just trying to understand that as a sort of a more medium-term target for where you view the sort of normal earnings of the business relative to where historical earnings have been, and then some of the benefits that we would expect to be flowing through transformation, the Scottish expansion, things like that. So that sort of low 160s number seems still pretty soft compared to where earnings could otherwise have got to.
Yeah, thanks, James. And I think you've done a pretty decent job of understanding the numbers. So the big improvement comes in into the second half because we're getting the full 6 months running at the new contractual terms, more normalized type of supply chains as we look at them. So what that's really describing is that the first half, and it's primarily the first quarter, is we're still dealing with some of those issues that we're dealing with in FY22. We still have contracts that need to be filled because our contracts run on calendar years. So we don't get the net benefit of a lot of the contractual term change and change in pricing on barley and transportation until we get to 1 January. So if we just look at normalized, I'll just say crops into the future, then your comments are right, where on a medium-term basis, we'd be looking at numbers that would not have that tail effect that we have in the first half, primarily, the first quarter. In terms of transformation, we're still on track in delivering the benefits that we put out there before at $30 million. And we have been working, as you would know, some of the fallback that we had in FY22 in replacing some of our people resources and getting back on track. We've kept the IT project, the technology platform, pretty much on track. I can just tell you that we're actually, this week, we're live in Australia on the craft side. Going into September and bringing the whole craft side of Country Malt across, and we'll be into the processing side by the end of March 2023. So the tools and the capabilities are coming in place now that we've been working on. I'd be remiss to say also that our transportation management system is now fully implemented inside the company, and so we'll have benefits coming out of that. So on a medium-term base, I can appreciate you're saying the 140, 160 looks a little underbaked, but we're still dealing with the impact of what we've had to deal with in FY22 in that first quarter. So it's in that October, November, December period.
Yep, no, I realize that, Mark, absolutely. And that's why I was referencing the second half underlying EBITDA guidance you've given there at 82 to 94. So I purposefully moved on from that first half figure for the reasons that you outlined there, and just focused on that second half number. And if you annualize that second half number, you still only get into the low 160s. You compare that to where the business earnings profile was pre-COVID, and some of the benefits that should be flowing through, transformation benefits, Scottish expansion, and there's still a pretty decent earnings gap there. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of why that would still be the case from second half 23 onwards.
Yeah, no, I appreciate what you're saying. So as we come out of this and as we see ourselves with more certainty, that we can take a look at that aspect of it. The other components that I put on there is that as we get all of our contracts renegotiated at the appropriate terms, that uplift, certainly could be better than how you're analyzing it and taking it across. The other aspect that I would say is the from a transformation aspect, that the full benefits will ride through in FY24, and so we'll see an uplift, I would say, a little bit differently when with you just taking that 82 type of range and doubling it.
Okay, thanks, Mark. That's helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mark Toppe from Select Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a couple of questions. Just firstly, can you talk us through particularly the backdrop you're seeing in terms of passing on costs with the major customers, given there's been some price inflation in terms of some of the producers putting up their costs to cover things like bottles in the US. I'm just wondering, is there ready acceptance of your costs, or what is the kind of mood from the big customers over there, particularly on the bulk side?
Well, to your point, Mark, they're seeing it on a lot of areas, right? So other inputs, like you say, if it's bottles or aluminium cans, transportation, they're experiencing all of that themselves. So there's a good understanding that we're no different. We're experiencing those same types of increases, and so there's an expectation that our malt supply is going to have to reflect those type of costs going in as well. So, so far our negotiations on new pricing for 2023 contracts has been going actually quite well. So we're in good shape there. The other aspects that we're getting out of our customers is that they're still well aware of just how tight the supply is, even though we're having a good crop, how tight the supply is of malt availability, even for 2023. The whole marketplace is dealing with the aspect that we're literally running ourselves out of malt barley and malt. And so they obviously have concerns about making sure that we can supply them. So we've been working very, very close with them. And the industry itself is going to be operating at a very high utilization rate. And that in itself is just going to keep things tight, at least for another year. And so there actually is a very close relationship with our customers because, again, they're concerned about making sure that we can meet their needs. They're seeing their business actually doing well at this point. And they just want to make sure that we're able to supply them. So they're obviously feeling better about the North American crop situation than where it was before.
Right, thanks. And it might be something you talk about Wednesday, but just in your assessment of how these contracts are now structured, what's been the sort of learning in the last while from the ability to structure contracts going forward? It does seem that some of the bottle suppliers have been able to push through their prices more rapidly. So I'm just wondering how you think about that on a full year basis, or do you need to change the structure of some of these contracts to be able to give you more and more rapid response in terms of price increases?
Well, it's a very good point, and we will spend more time on that in the Investor Day on Wednesday. But those are some of the components that we're referring to when we talk about change of contractual terms. We're no longer in a fairly benign inflationary period of time like we have been for quite a while, and also more ongoing disruptions on supply chain. So it's really, to your point, getting contractual terms that allows for more rapid adjustment to reflect change in costs, be it anything from barley to transportation to energy. And we'll spend more time on that on Wednesday, but it's a very good point.
Yes. And I suppose just picking up then on that energy cost, you did reference that in the announcement. Can you sort of give us a bit more understanding of what's happening on that energy cost side?
Yeah, it's coming in areas where you would expect. We've seen across the board electricity costs going up a little bit on natural gas. Natural gas is not as impactful for us in North America, but places like the UK, we've seen dramatic increases, particularly on natural gas costs, and also ongoing concern about supplies with the whole Ukrainian-Russian situation going on. That's certainly creating a lot of uncertainty in that marketplace.
And just lastly, you alluded to the sort of demand backdrop as remaining fairly positive in the US and North America. Can you maybe talk to craft and how that's looking for the remainder of summer and the warm months in North America and demand for specialist malts in line with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're seeing demand is still continuing to really be at the recovered levels on the craft side. We're watching it closely, Mark, because obviously with high inflation, we're trying to see at what point could we reach prices in that marketplace that could start to hurt some demand. The craft business is highly dependent on on-premise consumption. And so with increase of inflation, just fuel costs alone, we're just watching that. But so far, we're not seeing it. We're obviously in a very good period of time in the Northern Hemisphere where most of the craft business is being summertime. And so consumption has been holding well. As a result, what we're seeing some pickup in the specialty malts. But we're also seeing behavior by a lot of the craft brewers that they haven't fully expanded what I call all their customized type of beers that they produce, which has a higher consumption of specialty malts. So not back to where we were pre-COVID levels on the specialty malt side, but certainly better than where we were a year ago. So it's a great question. It's one that we keep watching very, very closely.
Right. Thank you for your time there.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Thank you. You have a follow-up question from John Campbell from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Mark, just back to sort of what James was alluding to around trying to work out, you know, what is a reasonable ongoing level of profitability when things normalize. What are you assuming in terms of, you've said that Scottish expansion delivers $18 million on a full year run rate basis, but in your 140 to 160 guidance, what is included for the EBITDA benefits coming from the Scottish expansion, and what are you assuming out of the transformation benefits for FY23?
Yeah, so on the Scottish expansion, we're assuming that we'll be producing malt for our customers basically 1 January 2023. So there'd be 9 months in FY23. And again, when you look at that $18 million, you have to remember that Arbroath is already operating at full capacity. So the additional coming on in FY23 would be the Inverness side of the business for 9 months is the way to look at it, John.
Right, so we could sort of pro rata the of that 18. Arbroath is already at its full run rate, and the difference is obviously Inverness only contributing 9 months. So we could just sort of work it out from that.
Yeah. So you got 22,000 tons in Arbroath. You've got 57,000 tons in Inverness. Arbroath will run full rate of 22,000. Inverness will run 9 months.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, 57. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You asked me
that's
another
helpful
question too, John. What was that?
Yeah, and what are you assuming for the transformation benefits?
Yeah. So we're getting ourselves ramped up again for FY 2023, and we're trying to play a little bit of catch up because we're behind. We'd only put in $4.5 million for FY 2022, which put us behind when we're looking at basically a $10 million. Run rate increase per year. So don't know yet if we're going to fully catch that up in 23 or not. I'm comfortable that we'll be at a 10 million run rate. It's just a matter of how much do we make up of that 22 that's getting left behind. But I still have confidence that by the time we get through 24, that we'll have 30 million in benefits.
And that 30 million is a run rate at the end of FY24.
That's right. Yep, that's a sustainable run rate at the end of 24.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Your next question comes from David Pobucky from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my question. Around gearing, would you mind just giving a bit more color in terms of the discussions you've had with your lenders and what you know, what the options were that were discussed? I mean, were all parties comfortable with yourselves meeting covenants, or were covenants, you know, temporarily moved higher by the lenders with the view that gearing falls back within the target range at September 2023? Any further color would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, David. I appreciate the question. So yes, I just would, you know, confirm we're comfortable that we get back by 30 September inside of the range. So the issue for us is just dealing with this. We'll just call it a bubble over the next 6 to 9 months. And again, it's the higher barley costs. So even though we're not importing, if I just go look at overall barley costs where we were just call it 14 months ago, they're still basically double what that is. So we've got higher borrowing just because of the barley cost itself. Also, our borrowing level goes up as we get prepared and ready for Inverness to come on. And so that's a demand base that we're having to respond to and come through that. So the discussions with our financiers is just managing through this short-term increase, because we'll come back to a more normal type of leverage. And so that's why we're saying is that we don't see a reason to have to do an equity raise, because this is just managing through what is very, what we'll say is very easy to see why is that bubble there, and how fast it comes off. It's mainly, you know the equation to figure out the leverage, right? So the denominator, the EBITDA, has a big impact. And so it's just the earnings coming in strong on that last half really has a big impact for us to get the leverage back down inside the range of 2 to 2.5 times. So it's just managing through a short period of time, with banks understanding what the issues are and seeing what it is. So we're comfortable that we can manage through this process on the debt side.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Palmquist for closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you. And again, I appreciate you attending, short notice, and I appreciate the questions we got. And certainly look forward to seeing a lot of you at our Investor Day on Wednesday. I know the anytime you do a downgrade, it's disappointing, but we're really at a window of where we can really see how we come out of this. It's just a substantially reduced risk for us, more certainty around what we have for supplies, and we're seeing demand actually being very resilient in our marketplace that we're operating at a high utilization capacity as an industry, not just us. So we think structurally, things are still very good inside of our marketplace, our industry, and particularly inside of UMG. So we really do look forward to the changes that we'll see rapidly being executed through FY23. And we'll talk about those more at Investor Day. So thanks again.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.